Before we do Leap into Spring, and we go into Leap into Spring 2025, I want to bring some encouragement and reflect on what has been done during Leap into Spring 2024. And so I want you to look at what the Lord has done with your partnership. Look at what the Lord has done with your partnership and with your faithfulness. So in 2024, this is just a summary of what happened, the number of students we supported in West Africa. 220 students were supported. The number of widows supported was 5. The number of teachers we supported in the school was 12. So every month we pay for the teachers, what? Salaries, not school fees. And then the number of people receiving food aid. So what I've done here is I've shown you the number of individuals per month. So 250 individuals both in Philippines, Africa, India. 250 people receive, individuals, 250 per month receive food aid. And over the course of 12 months, so I've called that the occasions of support, because it could be the same 250 people every month, is 3,000. That's what we've been able to do. The number of ministers and pastors we've supported is 6. The number of salvations and baptisms that have occurred during this time period is 71. Now, the reason I highlighted there, because this is the clincher. Because you only need to know that this life doesn't go on forever. Although we would like it to go on forever, it doesn't. And I think this is where the salvations, people coming to know the Lord, because you know that you know the way you were before you knew the Lord and how it has changed you and how it has changed your family. So imagine these 71 people whose lives have been changed, which means that their families have been changed. It's nicer to go home because people's lives have been changed. This is what happens when you get saved with the Lord. You would have been a horrible person, and then you become a nice person. Because the Lord works on you bit by bit by bit by bit, knocking off those hard edges, and will make you into a soft person. This is what salvation does for us. It assures us of eternal life, number one, but also that there is a changing that happens on the inside of us. And this is what, so people will begin to experience you on the outside what you are experiencing on the inside. Amen? So salvations, this is not a, all this is the accomplishment of C3 Fremantle and C3 Kwinana. One thing I know that is part of the DNA of this, of both our churches is this, is that we work with what we got. You still experience vibrant worship, but there are no guitarists there, nobody on the flute, nobody on the violin, but the worship experience is still very good. We work with what we got. And I think that we really punch above our weight. If you look at who we are as individuals, 163, 69 people, and able by God's grace to accomplish this, this is no mean feat. This, you have to give a hand clap offering to the Lord this morning. Come on. So as we just look into the detail of lists, 2024, we go to the next slide. So the total pledges that came through from list 24 was 55,000. The total receipts as of, the 15th was 40,000, nearly 40,100. So we got about 72% of the pledges in. That in itself is a very good thing, because we do understand that, you know, things are a bit tighter. Things are tight, but we still appreciate, you know, 70. I mean, ideally, we want 100%, to be honest. But we're not mad at a 72%. it would be cruel of me to sort of like say, oh, geez, you guys are terrible. You only get 72%. But I understand that life happens. But this is, you know, we're very, very appreciative of those contributions that came in. And it's a stretch. And I think the whole objective is that we have to look at these things is that it's going to be a bit uncomfortable. It's going to be a stretch when you want to do things or anything. We're going to have to get outside our comfort zone where we're going to have to trust a bit more. Lord, I'm believing that this year I'm going to give more than what I did last year. It's going to cause a stretch to happen. But one thing I know is that when you allow the stretch to happen, you also give room for the Lord to do what? To come in and to prove himself strong and mighty. So our cash at bank on the 20th of August last year for Leap into Spring was 26,000. Our total receipts, of course, were 40,000. So we had a total of $66,000 for use. So the payments have been broken down. Sierra Leone, there was 5.2. Liberia, 40. Philippines, nearly 5,000. India, nearly 6.3, giving us a total payments of $56,000. Giving us on the 15th of August this year, a balance left over of 10,000. That's why it's in green. That if it was red, you'd know they were in trouble. But no, it's green. That suggests that there is some left over, which then will roll over into the new year. So breaking it down so that you actually understand, even just to further on from what Steve said, we support Lynn Tobin Ministries, and she does work in India. So she gives out saris for widows, and the total number of saris given out during the year was 400. 400 given out. But also what they did is that the number of feeding the poor that they did, 150 people receiving food support or food packages. Over a year, it's 1,800 occasions of support that have been given. Now, another key element of the work that they're doing is that they're supporting wrongfully accused people from going to jail. They're advocating for people that are going to jail. People who probably could not defend themselves. There's a lot of people that languish in prisons because they don't have the money to get themselves out of the bind they're in. And so they end up just doing the time just because they don't have the money. So that's really, really, really important, that the work that they're doing. In the Philippines, we have Cast Your Bread program. So grocery packages, 100 per month and then 1,200 during the year. And so the number of salvations and baptisms that came through from the Philippines was 22. This is just a detailed breakdown from each area that we provide support to. Sierra Leone supported 10 students with school fees, supported the widows there as well. 5 were supported through the church, and the number of salvations and baptisms, 35. So people being added, people being added. And you know when those people are being added? That's us. That's us. That's our contribution. We played a part in that because we facilitated for that to actually take place. So that's you and I. Amen? Yeah. Medical expenses for Pastor Commander, because you saw last week in the video that, you know, his knee or his leg was really messed up. And so you got to support the man. There's no point in saying, no, just go and preach the gospel. But he's got a messed up leg. It doesn't work like that. So that was the support provided to him. In Liberia, where a bulk of our support goes to, 210 students supported the school fees, the number of teachers, the salvations, the pastor supported. The other thing that they're also doing is food support given to church community. So they're giving out parcels of rice to people in the community. We purchased land, including, of course, the fees that come with the purchase of land. And then there was the completion of the C3 Kagata windows and doors. And then we purchased chairs for the church in Fendo. Imagine rocking up to church and you got to sit on the floor. Would you come? But I'll tell you this, though. God don't care. If you're not willing to give him your praise, he'll get somebody in 45-degree heat somewhere who's willing to get on a tambourine, no music, and dance, and he will drop his power there. This is why we have to recognize that he, and I got this realization when I was in a border town in near the border of Zambia and Zimbabwe. We're in a school classroom having a church service. The lady, I mean, she was, they were belting it, but it was 34 degrees. And in that moment, I realized that I could be in my air-conditioned church in Port Hedland complaining that how come the aircon is not really working today? But there's somebody in 34 degrees that does not mind to praise the Lord. And so that helps us change our perspective a bit, that it's quite easy, even when you think of Pastor Colley, the difference between him and me is just location. But he's out there. You know, you have people, we heard last week that there's a town in at some border in Guinea that said, we want you to come and start a church. And this man is just, he's on the ball to try and to see people's lives changed. And so this is what they're exploring at the moment, an opportunity to go and start a church in some place near Guinea. The difference between them and us is just location. And I wonder if we were in their location as we are now, we transport ourselves and we go, and now we're in Liberia. I wonder, would we still be desirous for the Lord? Now, I'm not having a go per se. I'm just saying that should cause us to be very reflective and be thankful to the Lord and say, Father, we thank you for your blessing that, number one, we're in this country. That it's an absolute blessing that we are in this country. In the lottery of life, we have won because we're in this country. And it's not something that we should ever take for granted. Which is why, and this is not a political thing, this is why your freedoms that you have in this country, you got to fight for them. We have to fight for them. We shouldn't be sit back and say, oh, well, I don't care who's running. I don't care who the member in my area is. No, you have to care because they will make laws that are going to affect your life and my life. So let's never take that for granted. Okay, so now the business side of thing comes. Leap into spring 2025. So what we're going to hope to do is continue on providing support to these ministries in Lynn Tobin Ministries, in the Philippines, in Sierra Leone, and in Liberia. So as you can see, those are the amounts that we're looking for there. And there's a part that's highlighted in blue, is that next year we really want to ramp up the stuff that we're doing locally. So that is going to require that we have our youth leader engaged more in our church life. Currently, they only work 2 days a week. We recognize that this is an important area of our ministry, that we want to roll that up to double that. Ideally, we would like it to be full-time. And part of that is that they're going to be looking to go through and go into the high schools, partner with the high schools, with the chaplains there, to do ministry in the high schools, but also to focus on our youth, because that's an area that we really need to tap into. And we really need to be aggressive in tapping into that space. And so this is why you've obviously got that, what we're hoping to do next year. So the total that is going to be required for 2025 is $70,000. You see, let me tell you what happens when you all of a sudden say we want to venture into these areas. You then encounter other problems. Because some of the problems that you encounter when you say we're now going into the high schools is that we recognize in all you have youth that no one can pick them up because they're not driving yet. Some of them are just, 13 years old? Parents might be busy working shifts, running businesses. So that means we need somebody to do what? To pick them up. So ideally, we would probably require more than what we're asking for. We're just being kind in asking for only $70,000. But the thing is that momentum creates problems. Like they're meeting now every week here, every fortnight in Fremantle, and every week in Kwinana. So there's a lot of driving that happens. Now, sometimes their cars are a bit too small to fit a bunch of kids in there. All I'm saying is that be prepared that as things begin to change, as momentum starts, we might have to purchase a vehicle that will fit 11 or 10 kids or 9 kids at least in one go. Those are good problems to have because we know that all we want to do at the end of the day is make a difference in people's lives, is make a difference in children's lives. I don't know anybody who's not motivated by that. To say, God, I just want to partner with you in what you're doing in this space. That's all we want to do, is to partner with the Lord. And I would ask this year, as you begin to think, if you grab out your cards and just hold your card, and just say, "Oh Lord." And that's why we asked you a few weeks ago to take your card home and ask the Lord, what is it that you're going to contribute this year? Remember, this is about changing lives. This is about making an impact in the lives of children, in the lives of adults, in the lives of families. Just hold on to your card for another 5 minutes. There's a song by Love Riot called "The Power of Your Love." And it says, "The power of your love has saved me. The power of your love restores me. The power of your love never fails me. Your love is all I need, Jesus. The power of your love has saved me. The power of your love restores me. The power of your love never fails me. Your love is all I need, Jesus. Your love is all I need." I wonder if you remember when the Lord Jesus came for you. You would recognize that it's only the power of his love that saved you, that restored you, that never failed you. One of the things I love about this song is a part where they say, "Because of the power of your love, I will go, I will show the power of your love. The world will know the power of your love." This is what we do, is that we want to make the name of Jesus ring out from C3 Fremantle. That it's the power of his love would go out in all that we do, everything that we say. Because your giving is received as love. Your giving is received as love. We went to watch the rugby yesterday, and it was a very enjoyable experience. Bert, Joseph, and everybody, some of the people in this church were there, which was really good. One of the things that I noticed yesterday, especially yesterday, is that whenever I did something, maybe for Guguletu, she would say, "I love you." Maybe she wanted some potato chips, you know, the fried chips. You know, each time she got her request granted, she said, "I love you, Dad." So our giving is received as love. In John 3:16, it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." This is why now we say, "Lord, I know that you loved me, because you did what? You died for me." Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Can we move on to the next slide? So our giving is received as love. For those people that are helped, they see that as love, like, wow, these people loved me enough to put aside whatever they put aside so that I could get support. That's the message that they get when they receive what your worship is, what your giving is. Because your giving is actually your worship to the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 to 9, it says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." The Passion Translation of the same scripture says, "But you are to be a king who speaks up on behalf of the disenfranchised and pleads for the legal rights of the defenseless and those who are dying. Be a righteous king, judging on behalf of the poor and interceding for those most in need." Now you have a mother that is speaking to her son, saying, "This is what I want you to do, to speak up on behalf of the disenfranchised and plead for the legal rights of the defenseless." This is the thing that Lynn Tobin and her ministry is doing, is pleading for people that cannot, they cannot support themselves. Otherwise, they'll be going to jail. This is what they're doing. They're speaking up. They're becoming a voice for those people. You see, this is a lady, Lemuel's mother, counseling her son, who is a king, to champion the cause of those who lack power to contend for themselves. She makes a deliberate connection between those who are mute, meaning those who cannot speak, and the king speaking for them. So because other people cannot speak for themselves, we need to be the ones that speak for them. Because a righteous leader advocates on behalf of those who need help. In Proverbs 21, verse 13, you don't have to turn to it. It says, "Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time." In Proverbs 29, verse 7, it says, "The godly care about the rights of the poor, the wicked don't care at all." In verse 14, it says, "If a king judges the poor fairly, his throne will last forever." You see, if we don't protect the afflicted, it's a sign of failed leadership on our part. Because that's the one thing that shows us that we're different, that we're Christians. Because guess who advocates for you in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. So when we advocate for others, all we're doing is advocating for Jesus is advocating on our behalf. We then follow his example and we advocate for others. This is why the defendant in court never speaks. It is their lawyer that speaks for them, that advocates on their behalf, because they know the law better. On most occasions, there are people who've represented themselves in court. probably more than 80% of the time they've gone to jail because they don't know the law. That's why you need somebody to advocate for you. This is why it's important that we advocate for the oppressed, the poor, those that are sick, those that are in poverty. We advocate for them. Because it's very easy for those in power to brush aside those who cannot offer anything in return for aid. And you guys know this. You know that the politicians ain't coming unless they're going to get something from you. So you probably see them, federal guys, you probably see them starting to come at towards this end of this year and then into next year. They'll be coming to Western Australia a lot because they know that, it's time for us to go beg for their votes. Because they never come unless you can offer them something. If you can't give them anything, they ain't coming. That's the honest truth. But this is what we're being told not to do. We advocate for those, even though we cannot get anything in return. That's the truth. For all the people that we've helped, they probably can't sort of like say, all right, look, I'll pay you guys back for what you did for me. Because an advocate lends the strength they lack. A corrupt king or judge might discriminate against people that can't speak for themselves and the dying and the sick or those in poverty. But this mother was encouraging the king to render only righteous judgments on their behalf. And as we finish this morning, our giving is out of love and duty. It's not just out of love, but there's duty involved. Now, another word for duty is responsibility. This is why most of you parents wake up in the middle of the night to finish up reports. This is why you go to work every morning. Not because you love it, but because you got to do it. A lot of the stuff that you give out is sometimes, it's not just out of love, but it's out of responsibility that you say, if I don't do it, who else will? So I got to step into the breach. That's out of duty. So let's not get it twisted that we always do things because we feel good. No, we do things because duty requires us to do it. And also because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. It is our duty to look after people that cannot look after themselves. It is our duty to fight for those that cannot fight for themselves. And so your gift, no matter the amount, is treasure in the master's hand. The gift that you give, no matter what the amount is treasure in the master's hand, because he's going to use that in a way that he knows how to manipulate and move things around. As people contribute to all these ministries, people's lives are being changed. People are beginning to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard of the Bible study group that was happening in the Philippines. And people were coming, they were receiving food parcels. At the same time, they were receiving the word of God. Then you had the salvations. So the Lord is able to take what you give. And then he does the magic, whatever he does in his hands. So I want you to understand that your giving makes a difference in people's lives. And I would ask, even as we look towards 2025, and I know it's a lot, but there's also a lot at stake. What is at stake here is wanting to change the lives of the young people in the schools that are around C3 Fremantle and C3 Kwinana. We want to make an impact. We want to influence, not just overseas, but we want to influence here in Australia, in Western Australia. What's happening in the lives of our youth is that they meet every Friday. Some invite their friends. They have a wonderful time. They get to hear a little, talk about the Lord. A little discipleship happens. They're all planning now to go Bert is planning to take a bunch of kids to Youth Alive on the 30th of September. Is it not August? Sorry, 30th of August. And I would ask that if you've got young kids, you know, that they would come and just see Bert afterwards, that they would go and they're going to hear a message that is going to transform their lives. Because as they go to Youth Alive, you know, as they go to Youth Alive, and even as they come to our youth, I don't just make it about Youth Alive. I'm only telling you what they're doing. It's wanting to make a difference in their lives so that one day these will be parents. They will begin to teach their children. So what is at stake here is that whatever you contribute is treasure in the Master's hands. But the purpose is so that people's lives can be changed and be transformed.